Are you ready for a whole new way of being in the world? Welcome to Living from the Inside Out with Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Our topic for today is getting older and the numbers to call to get coaching on having what you want and thriving in every area of your life. Our 866-254-1579, toll-free in the United States and Canada. Outside the United States and Canada, you can reach the show by dialing 001-760-918-4300. And I want to do things a little bit differently today. So I will set the table, as always. And then, as much as anything today, I'd love to just hear from you what getting older is like for you. What have you learned from getting older? What do you love about getting older? What do you hate about getting older? And let's just have a conversation about getting older. And you know, in the spirit of full disclosure, the show, I'm doing this show today because today is my birthday. I'm 51 today. And you know, especially in a way more so last year turning 50, but oddly turning 51, I've really been thinking about getting older in a way that was just never relevant to me before. I had such an oddly specific sense of what was going to happen in my life year by year. Now, I was wrong in one sense because I thought it was all going to happen as an actor. But here's how I thought my life would play out. And I have no idea why I thought this. I have no idea how much of this was, some deep psychic intuition and how much of it was self-fulfilling prophecy. But I kind of just knew that I wasn't going to do much in my 20s. I mean, now it's not true that I didn't do much in my 20s, but, I wasn't worried about my 20s. And I kind of thought in my 30s, I would begin my real career. And that from 35 to 38, I was going to really make my first move. And from 38 to 42, I was going to start climbing to the top of my profession. And from 42 to 45, I was going to start to really show nationally, internationally. And then 45 to 50 was going to be kind of riding that wave. My 50s were going to be spent, playing at the top of my game. 60s were going to be spent teaching and sharing and kind of chilling. And then I didn't really have anything in terms of the details beyond that. Now, what's interesting is how closely my career trajectory played out to that, despite the fact that it was in a completely different line of work. It wasn't as an actor, it was as a teacher and an author. But what's also interesting as I look at it now is how made up some of it is in terms of almost like post-hypnotic suggestion. You hit a certain age and you begin to develop things that you think are associated with that age. And they're invisible to you right up until you hit that age and you suddenly go, oh my God, now I'm 50. Oh my God, now I'm 60. Oh my God, now I'm 30. I mean, I had a client who was 40. He turned 40 and he was somewhat successful in Hollywood, but as a writer. But in his mind, he looked quite young. He couldn't let anybody know his age because he just thought, oh, my career will be over if anybody finds out my age. And it was crippling to him. And I thought it was just really funny because from the outside you could see, well, he's a writer. Like, it doesn't matter what he could look horrific and it wouldn't really hurt him in Hollywood if he could write good movies for other people. But I do remember, what he finally saw is it was something he'd picked up as a kid, some idea in his head about how it worked and at what age you were useless and at what age you would go out to pasture. And I think for me, the version of it that I really saw, so I was dreading turning 50 last year, and I was dreading it right up until we went to the Bottle Rock Music Festival in Napa. And when we got to Bottle Rock, the lineup was, I can't remember the big names, the big two names, Lenny Kravitz and Stevie Wonder. And I was watching Lenny Kravitz and I realized he was in his mid 50s and he was rocking out. And I watched Stevie Wonder, who I realized was, I think, 70, and he was rocking out. And I suddenly thought, oh, I'd made up that it was all downhill from 50. I hadn't known I'd done that. I didn't make it up as in, let me think about it. But in my head, 50 was the beginning of the long, slow decline. And I was watching these guys at the top of their game. I was watching these two guys, just stunning performers. And it did something for me because I just thought, oh, I made that up. I made up that there's a certain number at which things decline. And I think societally, we've made up certain things. Now, it's not that they're never true. It's that they're not factual relationships. They're correlation, not causation. And for every story of somebody who declines beyond a certain age, there are stories of people who began at that age. You've got your Grandma Moses stories. You've got your Georgia O'Keeffe stories. You've got, you know, so many. If you just type in life begins at 40 or life begins at 50 or life begins at any age. Now, the most interesting theory, by the way, I'm going to go to the calls because I really want to make most of today about you just sharing what you've seen about getting older, what you've learned, what your experience is. So numbers for that, 866-254-1579, toll free in the U.S. and Canada, 866-254-1579. And then, I don't know why I just sang that. It wasn't even a particularly catchy jingle. And then outside of the United States and Canada, 001-760-918-4300. But just before I do, I want to share one more, one more kind of little, you know, story example of, you know, how we kind of get hypnotized by a number, you know, where we think, oh, I'm this age, now I need to act like a grown-up. Oh, I'm this age, now I should be here in my life. Oh, I'm this age, now I can't do this anymore. And I won't go into the full detail, but we had a family member who hit a certain age and began to really question her memory. And as best I could tell, her memory was better than mine. Because I always had so much on my mind, even in my 20s and 30s, I was a bump into the furniture kind of guy because I was so up in my head all the time. And I saw her convince herself she was losing her marbles because she'd hit the age at which she thought you lost your marbles. Now, she is now, you know, she has dementia. She's been diagnosed with dementia. She has the problem. And I'm not saying that she wouldn't have dementia if she hadn't had those thoughts. I don't know how directly cause-effect it was. But I watched her suffer for a good 10 years longer than she needed to because of an unrecognized thought that at this age, if you have trouble remembering something, it's not because you got too much on your mind, which is what it is at every other age. Now it's a disease. And it's interesting to question those things. It's interesting to not take them as givens, but to just open up to the possibility of what new abilities, what new possibilities will unfold for you as you get older, and not just what abilities and possibilities you think will shrink for you as you get older. Enough about me. Let's go to Dallas and let's talk to Pam. Pam, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
Hello.
Hello.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I was so excited about this topic, and so I thank you for doing it.
You're very welcome.
Do you have a question for me? Because I really didn't have a question.
Well, yeah, I absolutely do have a question for you. So my question is, what is getting older like for you? Give me the good, the bad, and the interesting.
Okay, so I'm about a decade ahead of you.
Nice.
And I'll turn 60 next year.
Okay.
So I'm coming in. I'm 59. And what is it like? It's wonderful. And I'm so grateful. I kind of think, if I had tips for people, I think we need to have those role models. They've been really important in my life at every age. But now, like Louise Hay, you know, I just try to keep those pictures in my mind. And I look at this time as an age of giving back. Because to some extent, people invested in my own life, and I've got so all the gifts, it's my turn to give those gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also think we should run like hell from people who think we need to be put out to pasture. And I think for me, when I see that, whether it's at work or, you know, students I teach or teachers I work with, I really consider that kind of like toxic people. And I really do. I'd say run like hell from them.
Now, what do you attribute what sounds like a really healthy attitude towards this? Is it something that you were taught? Is it something you kind of just stumbled on? Is it just natural for you?
Not at all. My mom hit her own age, and so it wasn't something natural. So maybe I looked at that and said, I know what I don't want to do. Mm-hmm. But I also do continue to seek out and always have. The next generation above and beyond, you know, I look at even my own grandparents growing up were significant in my life. And there were so many, I see so many strong women who influenced me, who were ahead of me. Mm-hmm. And I looked at them and said, I want to be like that. So that helped
me. No, that's very cool. Thank you, Pam. Thank you for phoning in as well.
I don't know if that's helpful.
Well, it is to me. And honestly, let's be honest, it's my birthday. It's all about me today. So the reason that I think what Pam had to share is helpful, because it points to that whether the people closest to us, you know, whether it's our parents or whoever we were raised around, whether they were positive role models for aging or you know, whether they were an example or a warning, it doesn't predetermine which way we go. Our parents might have handled aging really badly, and that sets us up for success. They might have handled it really well, but then we feel daunted trying to compare ourselves to them. There's nothing, you're not a victim of your upbringing in that sense. You're not a victim of who you grew up around. You have that possibility of looking around for who does this well, who ages well, not just physically and attractively, but who gets better with age. And those you find what you're looking for. If you want to find people who fall apart with age, not just physically, but mentally, socially, emotionally, you know, across the board, you can find them. So I was listening to Pam and I was thinking, yeah, you know what? Most of my mentors are in their 70s. Now, that's not on purpose. I didn't actually realize that till she said that. I haven't been going looking for them. But that's actually incredibly encouraging to me, because they're, you know, I got like 25 years till, and I'm like, hey, my life's pretty good now. And God, in 25 more years, I could go that much further. And it kind of makes the whole thing exciting. Let's stay in Texas, but let's go to Austin and let's talk to Liz. Liz, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Well, I like this topic too. I'm 62, so I'm a little ahead of you, but I remember distinctly a day when I was 25, my father was 50, my grandmother, his mother, was 75, and she was one of my best friends. And we were sitting around the kitchen table, and I said to her, you know, Grandma, when people, old men get kind of old and cranky and curmudgeonly, I said, you know, when do people hit that age that they start to do that? And she said, you know, Elizabeth, you know, if they're cranky at 75, they were probably cranky at 50 and cranky at 25. You don't really change who you are. You just stay who you same. You know, you stay the same. You just look older. She said, sometimes I'll walk by the mirror and I catch a glimpse of myself sideways in the mirror. And she said, sometimes I'll go, ah, who is that old woman in the mirror? And I thought, from then on, I honestly got, because she was a pretty wise woman and I, you know, she hadn't led me astray too much. I thought, she's probably right. And so from that point on, I kind of started looking at people that, you know, that probably, you probably were a cranky old man when you were 25, and the converse as well. So I think having had a good role model for aging, and she was a lot of fun, and she, you know, partied right up until her last day at 84, it helped me a lot, I think, to not be afraid of aging. And I didn't ever go through the, when you hit a certain decade, you're going to decline. And I don't feel any different at 62, really, than I did at 25. I honestly don't. I've learned a lot of things, but I don't, you know, more wrinkles and more parts are starting to fall in places. But basically, I feel the same as I did. And it's cool in a way because you don't, nobody tells you that when you're younger.
Yeah.
They really don't, because how do they, you don't know that when you're younger. But now getting there, it opens up a lot more freedom to just kind of be who you are and let a lot of stuff go. I mean, along with the three principles, that obviously is a huge help. But it does, just the whole thing of getting older is really not that big of a deal.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that, Storm. My best friend is from Kerrville, not too far from you. And
no,
he was just there last week, and he was going through his mom's stuff. You know, his mom actually died a few years back, but he finally was going through all the old papers, and he found all his old papers from high school.
Right.
And he was going through it, and he said he'd been reading for like a couple hours, and he got up to go to the restroom, and he looked in the mirror as he was washing his hands, and he was like, "Who the hell is that?"
Yeah,
because in his head he'd gone back to being 18,
right.
It's quite funny. I like that way of talking about it because it's like the skin sack changes,
right? Yeah,
right. But
exactly.
But who's looking out the eyes doesn't. Now, it can, from a personality point of view, it can, from a learning point of view, you know, I'm way happier now than I was when my skin sack looked a little younger. But but from a, you know, from a, at this age, this will happen point of view, it's really interesting to see how much of that is myth.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Brilliant. Totally. Thank you, Liz.
Well, and have a lovely birthday. Thanks
I
for
shall
taking
indeed.
My call.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Numbers to call to share your stories of getting older, what you love, what you don't love so much, and what you've learned. 866-254-1579 or 760-918-4300. Let's go to New York and let's talk with Michael. Michael, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about?
Hey, thanks for taking the call.
No problem.
So this is, the third time I spoke to you. I followed along the space within that you send me and really helped. And as I get older, I would just say that as I continue to learn, I'm like growing more and more. I think I'm at midlife about now. I'm 38, feels right around the middle here. And as I grow, I catch lessons that I have been shown so many times and then finally catch that lesson or think that I've caught that lesson but still wind up stumbling. And that's the thing that I'll come back to. I know it's coming back to the lack, and that's kind of the choice that I'm making, but still I could go to the most like yoga moment and be very peaceful and then catch the vibration of, let's call it the other, you know, another person or a situation and wind up being, you know, defensive and put off and pissed off, and then it can turn to anger and whatever. And it happens like that. And I know we all do it. I've heard a lot of people talk about it. So that's where I'm at.
So here's what's interesting about that to me, Michael. I was just literally talking to a client just before getting on the show about this. And they had in their mind, and you can tell me what I'm going to do. By the way, Michael, I'm going to put you on hold just for the background noise, and then I'll bring you back on. A lot of people come to Hay House. They come to conversations like this because in their mind, mental health is I feel good all the time, and if I don't feel good, there's a problem. And the analogy I used is, well, you know, if you live in New York, can you only feel good on sunny days? And of course, you know, the answer is no, because there aren't enough of them. if that was the prerequisite to feeling good, and that we somehow think that we're not supposed to be subject to weather. Like emotionally, we think if we get it right, we'll feel good all the time and never bad. If we get it right, it'll be sunny every day and there'll never be clouds or rain. Now, with weather, we know that's nutty. Like nobody would take themselves that seriously about thinking that it should always be sunny. But we somehow do when it's to do with how we feel. We think, we think there's something wrong if there's weather. Well, there's nothing wrong if there's weather. It's just part of the ecosystem, and we can enjoy any kind of weather if we don't have an opinion about it, if we don't cultivate an opinion about it. It's like one, you know, you dress differently. You know, it's the thing. There's no such thing as bad weather, only the wrong clothing. Now, if you can see that the only reason that we get out of sorts is we start to think that there shouldn't be weather. It's almost like we get out of sorts because we think we shouldn't get out of sorts. We get confused, we get messed up, we get caught up because we think there's something wrong with the way that we're feeling. And I want to offer you the same different line in the sand that I offered him, which isn't, are you feeling good? Then it's good. Are you feeling bad if it's bad? It's, do you know where that feeling is coming from? Because if you're miserable, but you know you're miserable because you're just caught up in your head with some miserable thinking right now, then actually you're really mentally healthy. And if you're miserable and you think that it's because of what somebody said or what they did or you caught it from them, then in that moment, you're kind of temporarily insane. Now, the flip of that is true, too. If you're feeling really peaceful and just gorgeous and happy, and you think it's because of something that's going on in your life or a person who's in your life, you're a little nutty. And if you're feeling peaceful and gorgeous and you know that's just the feeling of being alive, that's just the feeling of you, well, then you're really mentally healthy. Now, I'm going to throw it back to you, Michael. What do you hear in that? What lands for you? What resonates?
Yeah, so that does resonate. Once you kind of catch that the feeling is coming from that space within, use your title.
Nice way of getting incorporating
that. Then it all
opens
up,
like,
and I can see that.
Yeah.
So that definitely helps, and to put it in perspective. And right now I'm at the place of some perspective, so I do see that. It's kind of insane when you think it's because of the other person, and it's really that they're reflecting back, you know, what you're putting out. I can see that, like, if I observe now.
Yeah.
That's one of the things. As I get older, I didn't see that before, and now I do. So that's, I can name that, and that's helpful.
That's
but
fantastic.
I'll just go to the so what comes up for me is the but still the ego picks that one thing that you're lacking and attaches to that, and I can practice non-attachment and get deeper into different type of practices, and I think that's the way to go for me. But still, I wind up attaching because that's like my conditioning, and it's there. And, you know, you want what you want, and you wind up, like, even if you're not insane about it at that moment, you wind up waking up the next day and still wanting that, or, you know, and
well,
still
so
wanting
think,
that intimacy,
Michael, and
or that
connection. This is a genuine question. This might not sound like a real question, but this is a real question.
That's fair.
Do you think you're going to escape the human condition one day, that if you do all the practices and you get the right practice and you do it for long enough, you're going to get to a point where you stop attaching to things and getting caught up in things and getting distracted and getting upset?
Not completely, unless, like, it's like cave living and then you go off in the forest and sit there. I mean, I not completely if I'm in the conscious world, and especially in New York, I think, right? And but yes, to a point where I could manage it and still be productive and still be loving instead of switching over to the dark side so quickly.
Well, so let me offer you
getting out of my car after yoga to walking upstairs, and within that 10 minutes, I'm like two different people,
To me, one of the stories I remember beginning to study this stuff that I found fascinating was there was an enlightened guy named U.G. Krishnamurti. So not the famous Krishnamurti, which was J. Krishnamurti, U.G. Krishnamurti, and He would tell a story that his father was a devout man and would meditate 3 hours a day, an hour in the morning, come home and meditate for an hour at lunch, and then meditate for an hour in the evening, and was considered an incredibly devout man. And if the kids disturbed his meditation, he would take off his belt and beat them for disturbing his meditation. Now, what Krishnamurti kind of concluded from that is that the kind of temporary peace that can come through a practice, like stilling the mind or yoga or whatever, is lovely and may in and of itself have value, but it's not the same as the peace that comes with understanding the human condition. If you know, and I'm not, and I'm just putting this out there for the kind of checking, and not even for the checking on the call, but like just something to take away with you. If you know that you will, for as long as you have a body and a mind, you will from time to time get caught up. You will from time to time get upset. You will from time to time wake up from that and feel like an idiot for having gotten upset about nothing.
Right. Yeah.
Then you're actually freer than someone who is right when they're feeling at peace and wrong when they're feeling off.
Yeah, I can see that. In the knowing is the a lot of,
and it's just an interesting different direction to look.
Yeah.
Listen, Michael, thank you very much. I appreciate the call. Please phone back anytime.
Yeah, excellent. And happy, happy, happy birthday. Enjoy.
Thank you, my friend. You know, and look, I think that's just, we're up against this illusion that there's this mythical place we're going to get to where we'll never feel bad again. And unless it happens after death, I've never heard of it outside of fairy tales. Let's talk to Stephanie in Tel Aviv. Hey, Steph.
Hi, Michael. Can you hear me?
I can indeed. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind
happy
today?
Happy birthday.
Oh,
well,
thank
I mean,
you.
First of all, happy birthday. I hope it's a really great day for you. And I realize there's a trend. You have a birthday and I have 1 week later. So I'm also very much in the reflective mood about age.
Nice.
And so, your, topic is, really calling, to me. And what I found was amazing, which I think speaks to a lot of, your points, is that here I am, I'm 40 now, turning 41, next week, and I'm sitting down, creating things that mm-hmm. I never thought I would create. Like I'm sitting here with my drawing pad, drawing a dragonfly after I think, you know, a lifetime of living in the thought that I wasn't an artist, so I couldn't mm-hmm. do that. So to have like that kind of invisible kind of barrier, like fall away in my mind as I've grown older, is so cool because it's just like, okay, what else? Like what, like kind of what else am I kind of like lodging in my mind that I told myself earlier on in life that, you know, when you're at this stage, you do this exactly like how you kind of set the table for this mm-hmm. evening. Like, you don't start to become an artist at the age of 40. You either have the talent early on or you don't.
Yeah, no, 50, I think, is the traditional age to become an artist. So you're ahead of your time.
Well, there you go. That's great. Or other things I didn't know I had in there, like, oh, you become more flexible when you're 41 than you mm-hmm. ever were when you're 20. That's not something that is talked about, but that's actually become like a reality for me recently that I was just like sitting here reflecting upon things for your show. And that's awesome. So if there's anybody like in their 20s or 30s out there, I got to tell you, like, 40s so far, I'm rocking it. I'm more flexible and I've like unleashed this creative talent, and I just am interested to know like what happens next, like mm-hmm. what else falls away as I realize the just like the tricks I played on myself from believing things about age that actually have no basis in fact or reality whatsoever.
Now, can we get a plug-in for your dragonfly? Is there a website people can go to see what you guys have done so far?
Absolutely. acuriousworld.org.
acuriousworld.org. And I've seen the little dragonfly, so I'm a fan. Thank you so much for phoning, Stephanie.
Cool.
Thanks, Michael. Have a great day.
You bet. You know, it's, here's what I'm hearing so far. And again, if you want to get in, 866-254-1579, outside the U.S., 760-918-4300. So one thing that's come up in many of the calls is role models. And, of course, role models can work both ways. There are role models of possibility, and there are role models of, yeah, I don't want to do that. You know, everyone's life is an example or a warning. And you can learn equally from both. You know, you're not limited by your immediate sphere. It's one of the great things about living in the internet age is it's very easy. I mean, it always has been since the printing press, because you could always find stories in books, but it's easier than ever to find examples of possibility, at any age that transcend the ages. My wife and I'm going to, let me just flag this. I'm going to swear now. And I'm going to probably swear three times. And if you're offended by swearing, now would be a great time to go make a quick cup of coffee. And then I'll stop. But my, I had a friend, and he was turning 50 around the same time as me. And he was getting into the best shape that he'd ever been since I knew him. And this is kind of to Stephanie's point. And I suggested to him that he kind of coin a slogan, fit as fuck by 50. And in fact, we wound up liking that so much, my wife and I, that we tried to get her a vanity plate here in California that said fit as fuck by 50. But for some reason, they wouldn't give it to us. We haven't figured out why. But it's like, I'm kind of in the same place where I am actually fitter at 51 as of today, than I was in my 20s and 30s. And I didn't know that was a possibility. I didn't know that was on the cards. I didn't know that was one of the ways that it can go. And actually, for me, one thing I found really helpful, there was a book called Younger Next Year. And I cannot remember the authors. I'm a little too far away from my bookshelves to get up and grab the book. For those of you who want to visualize where I am, I'm actually sitting on my floor with my computer and a microphone in front of me, because the desk that I've had for one of my birthday presents to myself is I'm replacing the desk that I've had for 17 years that I've written 13 books at, that's been with me in three houses. And so I'm temporarily between desks. My other desk is going to arrive, hopefully not during the show, but in the next hour. I'm too far away to grab the book, but Younger Next Year. And one of the things that totally changed for me when I read that book is they had a drawing, and I'm going to try and describe the drawing to you. And they drew the way that most people think about aging. And it sort of is a line that goes, it's a health line, and it goes up like a U curve, and you get healthier and stronger and healthy and stronger. And then somewhere around 40 or 50, it's a slow decline. So it's basically like a bell curve. And once you've passed that point, and 50, I think, is where they put the demarcation point, it's a slow decline into unhealth until you die. And they said that that is absolute crap, in the sense that, yes, that sometimes is how it goes, and that's often people's expectation. But they said, you know, if you begin to pay attention to the body and mind, if you begin to work with it, if you live in possibility, and the whole book is filled with models and possibilities around this. And then they drew a different one, and it rises and rises and rises. And then at 50, it begins almost like a flat line, slightly down, but almost like a flat line until the very end. And then it's a sharp drop off. And that one idea, that it was even possible to be younger next year, biologically, mentally, emotionally, to get to live life to the full. And then, yeah, at some point you're going to die. There's no way out of that one. That was so encouraging to me. That filled me with such a sense of possibility. And it changed the way that I thought about aging, because it opened up the possibility that, forget younger next year, I'm happy with better next year. Like, what if it could keep getting better? What if that's a real possibility? And that, for me, has made the journey of aging, most of the time when I'm not caught up in my insecurities and fears, so much more enjoyable and exciting instead of something to be dreaded and to avoid at all costs. Let's go back to you guys. Let's go to Madison, Wisconsin, and let's talk to Debbie. Debbie, welcome to the show. What's going on with you? Tell me about getting older.
Hi, happy birthday.
Thank you.
I just turned 61 2 days ago. And
happy birthday.
I really love the first three principles, and I love this topic today because some days I look at my mother and my grandmother who didn't age well. They got to a point where, like, you know, couldn't walk and weren't healthy and overweight. Like, I feel like I'm like 20 years older than I am some days, and I just had cataract surgery. It's 61, I had a cataract, and I have relatives who did that in their 80s. So there are days when I think I'm just, you know, buying into the, I don't have enough role models, or I'm going to get old. And then other days I, you know, I'm still young, and I hang out with my grandkids, and I'm still youthful.
So what's interesting to me, Debbie, and you tell me if this is right, is that there are days where your body feels old, and then there are days where you feel old, and sometimes
yes.
they happen at the same time.
Yes, exactly.
See, to me, knowing that is comforting, because I get there are days where my body's just going to feel old. I mean, you know, one of the things I did to start getting back into shape is CrossFit. And, you know, almost everybody else is in their 20s. And I'm looking around and going, oh, crap. But when I was first doing it, I would come out of there and I would feel like an old man. And and then I sort of went, well, that's not really why I'm doing this. So instead of pushing myself to keep up with the 20-year-olds, I thought, well, no, I'm actually doing this because I want to feel great. And so I sort of modified the way that I do it. And it's maybe taking me longer, I have no idea, to get as strong and swollen flexy, as they call it. But actually, I'm having a great time. And so it's noticing that, yeah, what's going on with my body and what's going on with my mind are not necessarily the same.
Yeah.
And my mind, now I'm not talking about my brain, I get brains age, but my mind is ageless. My mind is eternal. My mind is the universal mind. My mind is the divine mind. And age just isn't relevant to that bit of me.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's kind of beautiful to have a connection to an ageless mind, even in a body that just by its nature ages.
Yeah.
Gorgeous. Thank you so much for phoning in, Debbie.
All right. Have a great day. Bye.
Bye. Let's go to Vancouver and let's talk to Moira. Moira, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
Hi, Michael. Happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
I just wanted to comment, really, because I think it's such a great topic. I turned 60 in August.
Nice.
And so for my big 60th birthday celebration, I hiked the West Coast Trail.
Cool.
So it's a big hike. It took us, well, we took a week, my younger sister and I and a group of guys. And it's a challenging hike, and you're carrying a lot of weight. And on the third day of the hike, we were on the trail for 10 hours. And at the end of the day, I kind of said to my sister, I'm like, whoa, maybe I should have done this for my 30th birthday instead of my 60th birthday. And then she laughed, and she said, well, you can always get out halfway through. And then I was like, no, like, there's no way I would ever quit. Like, I'm tired. I'm really fatigued. And there are challenges here, but I'm enjoying it, and I'm not going to quit. Like, it's a totally different experience at this age. I think I was thinking when I was 30, mentally, I'm not sure I would have been able to handle the challenge of that hike as well. So, yeah, I just found that really interesting and a fabulous way to celebrate being 60 and still being able to get out there and physically challenge yourself.
You know, it puts me in mind, my father-in-law, my wife's dad, for his 60th birthday, he sailed halfway around the world on a clipper ship. He joined the crew of a clipper ship. And then for his 70th, he walked the length of the United Kingdom from Land's End to John O'Groats, you know, the southern tip.
That's amazing.
And it was quite funny because we all took turns. We came out and would join him for Little Legs. And I guess when he was 70, I was probably early 40s. And I remember I went out and hiked one leg with him, and I was almost crippled at the end of it. And he's just with his little dogs that he had with him. I just remember thinking,
an inspiring story.
My God. And you know, the thing is, look, it is true. We're, you know, not everybody is going to age the same. You know, there are certain principles. There's a use it or lose it principle with the body.
Yeah.
That seems pretty universal. But even with that, there are things that are going to happen that are outside of our control, that are as much genetics as life choices.
Yeah.
And, you know, to the extent that there are things that you can do, my God, it opens up possibilities when you do them.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you,
Maura.
I
just wanted to say a great subject.
Oh, lovely. Thank you so much for phoning in.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Let's move on. Let's go to Chicago. Let's speak with Lisa. Lisa, welcome to the show. What's your experience? What do you want to share today?
Thanks, Michael. Happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Well, I turned 60 this year.
And
earlier in my life, I had some medical issues. But I think when that happens to people, you understand that every birthday is a blessing. So every birthday since then, I really don't sweat it, and I count my blessings. Mm-hmm. And then further health issues forced me to retire from the financial world in corporate America, which has turned out to be an amazing blessing because I have the freedom to indulge myself in all my passions. I'm completing a book right now that's going to be published this year for children.
Congrats.
And thank you. And also the time to get out of the rat race, not have to get up in the morning and do the grind, allows you to challenge yourself. I do all these, I look for the physical challenges that you can do on your own, you know, like work your way up to 100 squats and things like that. There's mm-hmm. great satisfaction in that. And I'm super excited about the freedom and what lies ahead and who knows what's going to unfold. So I think a lot of it is attitude and making lemonade out of the lemons that come your way and observing people who are older than you and are living a very fulfilling life.
Beautiful. Thank you.
You're welcome. Happy birthday.
Thank you so much. So again, numbers to call if you want to get in and either share your experience of aging or your questions about aging. There was somebody who phoned in, and I'm sorry I haven't gotten to you yet because my board is a moving target here. Who works with the elderly. If you're able to phone back, I'd love to bring you on. But just in the meantime, let me again point to a couple of the things I've heard in today. So we've got a thing about role models, about, you know, finding role models a possibility. We've got a distinction around the body, that our expectations of what's going to happen to our body are not necessarily true. So we had somebody in their 40s, more flexible than they've ever been. Somebody in their 50s, that would be me, you know, fitter than they've ever been. People in their 60s doing physical things that they've never done. You know, I know people, you know, I mentioned one, but I know a number of people in their 70s who've done things physically. But then also to recognize that even when your body isn't doing what you want it to do, even when your body is aging, there's a part of the mind that never ages. There's a part of you that was never born, that never dies. Now, I don't really know what that part is. We can call it the soul. We can call it the God in us. We can call it the divine in us. We can call it the Holy Spirit in us. There are so many things it can be called. But when we touch that ageless part of ourself, it gives us a place to stand as we experience what it is to incarnate, as we experience what it is to have a body, to age, as we experience what it is to grow older, to look in the mirror and be surprised at the skin sack that's looking back at us. And there's something really beautiful about that. There's something really magical in my mind and in my experience about recognizing that I can expand in possibilities even as my body does what it does. Even as I go through whatever I'm going through physically, I'm thinking of, we have three parents left, my wife and I, and I talked about her earlier. She has dementia. One has Alzheimer's, and one is mentally sharp as a tack, but her body is deteriorating. And it's fascinating to watch how differently the three of them are dealing with what they're dealing with. They're all dealing with things that come with age, not necessarily, not automatically, not at a particular age, but they're part of having a body. And yet their experience of those things is so different. One of them is absolutely at peace with what's going on with them. One of them is fighting it like hell. And one of them is at the moment a little bit miserable with it. And it's not, you know, it's so easy to say, oh, well, you just need a more positive attitude. You need a better attitude. I don't know about you, but like when I'm in a low mood and somebody tells me I need a better attitude, I want to say all sorts of things to them that even I wouldn't say on air. But there's a point to it. There is a truth behind it, that our experience of life is our experience of thought in the moment. It's not an experience of our age. It's an experience of our thinking about aging. It's not our experience of our body. It's our experience of thought about what's happening with our body. And when we can begin to see that, then we're free. When we can begin to see that, that allows us to live in a completely different way. It allows us to continue to expand in possibility, even as maybe our physical possibilities, our physical limitations are are very real. And just knowing that you are not only not a victim of your age, but you're not a victim of your mind. To me, that's incredibly liberating. Let's go to Seattle. Let's talk to Elizabeth. Elizabeth, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
Oh, well, happy birthday.
And thank you very much.
You know, it's funny. I turned 50 this year myself, and the strangest thing for me to observe in myself is at 50, I've realized in a certain level of, ooh, I'm probably going to move on and not have biological children.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I never have felt more able or physically able to have children in my entire life that I've ever known. And to have that be a possibility, if it ever happened, I would just love to be a medical wonder or whatever you call it, a medical mystery. And it's funny to experience that both are happening in me at the same time. And that there's an acceptance, but there's also an excitement that of the possibility. It's like I'm at a mountaintop of some sort right now at the age of 50.
Which is so cool. And I love the way you describe it, that it's almost an intersection of two things.
Right.
You know, it's an intersection of that, you know, on the one hand, science says, and on the other hand, this is what's going on.
Right.
You know, and we could say it in different ways. On the one hand, the culture says, and on the other hand, this is what's going on. And, you know, I've met incredibly youthful people in their 80s, and I've met incredibly old people in their 20s. Mm. And so there's something there, and I don't know what it is. Now, if you were going to, and I'm not saying you have to or you'd even be right, but if you were going to attribute the experience that you're having right now, what would you attribute it to?
actually, I think it's the practices I've started to enjoy, I guess, later in my life. I started to enjoy exercise, so I got in touch with the physical body more than I ever did. But I also practiced the mental health or the emotional, the cognitive sides of my world, too. And I started doing them more than I'd ever done them in my life. So I was, like, developing. I was cross-fitting in a strange way, both my mind and my body.
Right.
At the same time. And when they woke up somehow, something woke up, then it was, I felt like I was finally online.
I love that metaphor of online, offline. That's a feeling I know well. And some people try and get it through biohacking and all that, but it's something that also seems to me to just come as you sort of open up to clarity. You open yourself up to just see more, and lo and behold, you see more.
Right, and I started being curious and trying new things, and I started to experience what I could see was happening by just starting to move in those directions, things that I seemed to be too afraid of in other. I mean, I was way too afraid to have children when I was probably 25, 30, the idea of pain and all those kind of things. And now that I've understood it a little differently, something opened up.
Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
So let me sort of see. I don't know if I'm going to tie anything into a neat little bow, because I'm not sure that life works that way. But let me sort of share what seems to me to be a dominant point or a really helpful thing to know. There are things that we can do to help our bodies as we get older. There are things we can do to help our minds when we do older. There are things we can do to create in the world as we grow older. Those things are not dependent on a number. They are not dependent on an age. But there is such a world of difference between whether we do them from fear or we do them from possibility. Anything we do from fear, even if it's good for us, carries the smell of fear. It carries the flavor of fear. It's the fruit of the poisonous tree. So if we're working out from fear, the problem is we have to stay scared to keep working out. If we're working our minds because we're scared of losing them, if we're eating healthy because we're scared that if we don't eat healthy, something horrible is going to happen, then what we're cultivating is fear in food, fear in practice, fear in exercise. When we orient ourselves towards what might be possible, even if we don't know what's possible. I don't know what 51 is going to be like. I don't know what tomorrow is going to be like. I certainly don't know what 70 or 80 or 90 might be like. But if I know that anything I do from possibility carries the taste of possibility, everything that I do from a spirit of adventure and exploration will carry the flavor of spirit and exploration, of adventure, then my life can get more and more expansive as I get older. So in my mind, it's not so much what we decide to do as the place in us that we decide to do it from. And that's my one attempt at a wise thought as a 51-year-old man. So I hope you have enjoyed today's show. I am enjoying the hell out of my birthday, gotta be honest. And I will be in London next week. So if you're in London, please, please, please come check me out. I'll be at Alternative St. James Church in Piccadilly on the Monday. The groups Tuesday to Thursday are sold out. Friday, you can come do Coaching from the Soul with me. And Saturday to Monday, you can either live in London or online do Working with Groups from the Inside Out. You can find out about all of that and more at michaelneal.org. You look at the events or calendar section, and all those events will be up there. And you can also listen to our Caffeine for the Soul podcast and blog. So until next week, have fun, learn heaps, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye for now.